humans are awful at estimating time, and we are terrible at breaking down tasks as well. That we see this when we work with clients on developing a customer journey, is we can develop 20 steps to that customer journey in a 2-hour meeting, and then come back and find out there's 50 steps that were missed. Like it's just always like, yeah, breaking it down further and further. How do we need to quote this project? What are we delivering on? And just looking at every little aspect of the biggest thing was just really pushing off that new business to start at the start of the next cycle. And then I found that once we kind of lock that cycle plan in place, it was protected from one more person who's the most dangerous person in the organization. And it's me. It's me coming in 2 weeks into something and saying, ah, we got to change it up. Now we have to do this. No. Change it. And I don't think that enough leaders recognize how one small action ripples through an organization and just messes with other people's days and motivation and ability to get things done and feel fulfilled. That now on a 6-week cycle, if that developer gets all his stuff done by 3 o'clock on Friday, he knows he can go home. He's done. You're done. I don't have more work for you. There are not 1,000 other things looming over you. We already planned what needs to get done this cycle. Do your work. Be done.
Yeah. And that commitment to the plan sounds like there's some comfort there. And like you said, I mean, so often we kind of change course midstream, and that really is a setback, isn't it?
It is. And I don't think it's recognized just how many things that continues to set back and just how many people it really impacts. I think one of the greatest, or maybe the CEO's worst disease, is the it's easy disease. And we just think that everything is easy to
do. Come on, you guys, just get it done.
It's just a password protection login system with a new form field that's going to check through JavaScript to make sure everything's validated. Come on, it's easy.
That's awesome. Joe, when we talked a few weeks ago, you said something that I thought was really cool. You said you have to plan the good stuff because the bad stuff is going to happen anyway. Where did that come from, and when did you start to really live that?
A good friend of mine in the Netherlands kind of passed that one along. And I think it's something I was living by and hadn't really had those words behind it to even hear you say it back to me, Mark. It's just that, yeah, we know it. We know the bad stuff is coming. The bad stuff will happen. But how do we wedge in the good stuff? And for me, that's a big part of working in cycles, that it's not just working in 6-week cycles. It's been 6 years of living this way, and dragging partners and family members into living this way with me as well. And so I've extended this just beyond work and really into life and into my relationship even.
So if somebody's listening, Joe, and they want to start naming their year, they want to start living intentionally in terms of doing stuff that really matters, because I think so often in life we just kind of react to what happens, and if we have time for doing fun stuff, or if we have time to do that stuff that really lights us up, then great, but so often we just are not intentional about creating that good stuff in our lives. So if somebody's listening and they really want to start down this path, how do they get started, and what do they have to do to make it successful?
Put down 3 things on your "it would be cool to" list. I think that's a good spot to start. Just write down the 3 things that you think would be cool to do next year, and let's see where it goes from there. And if you want to make one of those 3, write down more "it would be cool to"s. Hey, I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop you.
Oh, that's cool. Your new book that you're working on is, well, the working title is The Predictable Workday. Give me an idea of what we can expect with that one, Joe.
I think the unpredictable workday shits on people. So let me make this one the opposite of how do you make the workday actually better and more fulfilling for people?
Yeah, so break that down a little bit further. What I mean, I like what you just said, but take us a little deeper in terms of what you mean. It sounds like an extension of the first book, right?
It is. So it kind of ties back, because it's now how do you get to working in 6-week cycles? And so the first book is kind of about it and kind of some guides to get started. But over the last few years, the more we've learned in working with companies and internationally and identifying value and doing brand messaging, is just realizing how important it is to really identify your value up front. And then we need to build from that value into the organization because price is fake. Price is made up. And so what you pay people is also made up, and it's all about the distribution. And so when I see a company wasting just tens of thousands of dollars on SEO and not getting results, but they haven't looked at conversion optimization and actually how they're bringing in people, it just kills me because they don't know that real value, and they're kind of just shooting stuff out there everywhere. And then I think that's what leads to running people in the organization a little more ragged, because now you're making more money to test new ideas and you're going in the wrong direction. And so really this book is about how do we get more predictable with that work? And it starts with what we help companies do, which is identify that value. What are they really hiring you for? That the best example is we had a company in California. There's a cannabis delivery company we worked with. And the first sentence on their site was delivery in 60 minutes. But when we dug into their target customer, who's 57-year-old Sharon, who lives in a wealthy suburb, who's going to buy in bulk and goes to her mansion parties, like she doesn't give a crap if her weed shows up in 60 minutes. It's so low on what the value was of what she really wanted from that. But the culture at the company every day was run, 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 go, 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 60 minutes, 60 minutes, 60 minutes, hurry, hurry, hurry. And it didn't need to be that way. They weren't aligned to the right value of what they were really selling. And so that's a big part, is companies need to first identify their value. That's what helps you then get that more predictable workday and that predictable work stream of then selling what you're worth instead of just trying to sell time and being fast.
And it sounds like really tapping into your customer base is you've really got to figure out what motivates them, right? I mean, because
We
it
have
sounds
to.
like, you know, Domino's came up with that, you know, delivery model of within, you know, 30 minutes or it's free. But, you know, when pizza gets cold, that kind of makes sense. But yeah. So knowing your customers and digging deep, it sounds like that's a big part of it too.
Yep, and it's going to be necessary to stand out the more forward we go. All the tools for advertising and doing SEO, everyone has access to those tools now. Like now, the way to stand out is going to be through your messaging, going to be through that better targeted outreach. And I think that then that's going to lead this way to, if companies can have more empathy for their customer, perhaps they can have more empathy for their employees as well.
So Joe, you're committed to making the workplace a happier place to be. You know, if you could wave a magic wand and just really start to get other business, there it is. Get other business owners and managers to understand one or two things. What would it be?
There's just one thing that I'd really want anyone listening to this to take back and start doing with their organization. And it's something we do every Friday when we're on cycle. And it is just a 1-hour checkout meeting for up to five people. And in this meeting, we spend 2 minutes in silence at the beginning of the meeting. I set a timer. We set a timer for 2 minutes, and everyone looks back on their week and we write down things that went well that week. And then we share them. And then we set another 2-minute timer. And we look back and write down everything that didn't go well that week, and we share that. I think that one little meeting is so crucial to building empathy in the workplace and having a spot to listen to people. We don't listen to employees. And I learned through doing this that so many times I don't need this daily stand-up of where a project is. I trust you to get your job done. I trust you to move the project along. As we discussed at the beginning of the cycle, I really just need to know what got in the way. What didn't go well this week for you? Is it something at home? Is it something here? Is there something we can do about it? Like, how do I, as a manager, how do I then provide the best environment for you to do your job? And this one little meeting gives so much insight to take away of what's really important to people at that time in their life.